Welcome to The Mountain Life. I'm Mary Beth Maziarz.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak. This week, we're doing something a little different for The Mountain Life in honor of Mother's Day this Sunday. We thought we'd do an episode about moms, mothers we know, people who support mothers, and even our own moms.
Part of the inspiration for this episode came from an experience I had a few years ago when, on Mother's Day, one of my very favorite radio shows, This American Life, chose to air a show about, no joke, psychopaths. In preparing for this week, I went back and looked at some other interesting choices they've aired on This American Life on Mother's Day. Here are a couple. 2010, stories about bridges, including one in China famous for its high suicide rate. And in 2014, Call for Help, stories of people coming to terms with being in serious trouble.
And here are a few more 2019s. It is fine. Stories of people and the things they're scared to do. And in 2020, stuck. Stories of people feeling stuck. We thought that we would instead take the opportunity to focus on what it means to be a mother, the best and most challenging parts, and what we remember most fondly and even sometimes regret about the journey of motherhood.
Thanks for joining us for this special Mother's Day episode. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Stay with us.
This is The Mountain Life. I'm Lynn Ware Peak. Today we're celebrating Mother's Day with someone very special to all of us here at KPCW, our beloved quote-unquote radio mom, Ethel Preston. At 80 years young, Ethel brings a lifetime of wisdom, warmth, and perspective, not just as part of our station family, but as the mother of two daughters. In this special episode, we're talking about what makes being a mom and a grandma so meaningful, how that meaning evolves over time, and the lessons that stay with us for a lifetime. Ethel, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Oh, thank you, Lynn. It's a little scary to be here on this side of the microphone.
Which I think is so funny because over the years that you worked at KBCW, now we miss you so much because you decided to retire. You've been on the radio so many times.
But I wasn't talking about me. It was not personal.
That's true. Well, being a mom is an incredibly personal thing. And I think we decided to do this episode because it is so personal. And it's so personal how we feel about our own moms and how we feel about being a mom. And then you even have the added being a grandma. Mm-hmm. We claimed you as our radio mom. You know, like you were the mom here. You baked the cakes for everyone's birthdays. And we sort of forget that you came to town initially so that you could be closer to, you had some very young grandkids at that time.
Right? I did. My husband died. I took a job with an envelope company, which went down the year of 9/11. And you remember the anthrax scare? Mm-hmm. So at the end of that year, they were so struggling that they decided they did not need me after I created a training manual. So I thought, why am I spending all of my money traveling to Utah? Let me just move to Utah to be with my daughter and her 3-year-old son and 5-month-old daughter.
Oh.
I was able to spend time with them. I lived with them for 9 years. And I got a chance to be a sort of mom again.
That's wonderful. So being so close to at least one of your daughters and two of your grandkids right here in Park City, what is it like to watch them become mothers? We mother based on how we were mothered, right?
Or we become the mothers that we didn't like of what our parents did, so we become a little bit different.
Right.
And then we find out that maybe that doesn't work with the child we were given. And that, I think, is extremely, extremely important, that each child is so different that what works with one child may or may not work with another. I remember people saying to me, oh, you've got two girls. You'll be able to hand down the clothes. No, they didn't like the same things. They didn't have the same body types. We'd make assumptions that because they're our child or the same sex, that they are going to be alike, and they're not. One required for her love language was playing with her, doing things, running, being active. The other one's love language was snuggling and reading, playing around while you did things. Two totally different love languages, which as a mom, you have to be prepared to adapt.
That is, it's so great that you put it in those words of love language, because it means that you were really observant about your children. It's something that we have to be, but was that something that surprised you about being a mom, that they were so different?
I think it did. They looked a lot alike. They were 2 years apart, but people thought they were twins often. So they looked alike, but they were very, very different. And I love both of them. You mentioned something before the show about which age. And I thought about that. And when babies are little, you love them. There's that bond that they are totally dependent on you and you can meet their every need. That is rewarding. It's exhausting and tiring, but hey, I can step in and fix this. It's a great feeling. And then the great fun is when they're in elementary school. They are delightful. For me, I love to play, and they like to play, and we could play all kinds of things. Create games, we do charades, just do every game imaginable, especially active games. So that was a great fun period. They still like you. They want to play with you. They'd rather play with you than go next door. Or they bring their kids, friends over to play with you. Then during middle school, something that really surprised me in middle school and high school was even though they are pushing the boundaries and they push back and they argue and they don't want to do this or they're moody, it's very important to be there for them. I found that being home or picking them up from school or being home when they get off the bus was so important. They got the security of coming home to somebody who loved them no matter what happened during the day. And you got the wonderful gift of their just spilling out everything they were excited about or upset about. And then after they did that, they went off to play their own things. If you weren't there and you came in later and asked how was their day,
you missed it.
You missed it. And so that surprised me how important it was for middle school and then also for high schoolers.
You must have asked the right questions of your kids and now your grandkids mm-hmm. that they would spill everything. What's your secret, Ethel?
I don't know that I had a secret. It may have just been they were ready to get this all off their chest, the excitement and the sadness. There's a book, Alexander's No Good, Horrible, Very Bad Day. Yeah. And my little one daughter would come in and she'd say, I had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, referring to Alexander. And so I thought that was cute.
I'm curious if you found getting kids to talk about their emotions. We say now that we're more in that generation where it's more about how did that make you feel and that sort of thing. Did you see a difference between mothering your own kids and then your grandkids in terms of what they will divulge?
Again, I think that also goes back to the child. You have to pick your time. They're not always open. You have to read their body language. And you as the adult and parent have to make those observations. They are not going to, and they themselves may not be aware of those emotions. And so you have to say things like, you're being a little quieter tonight. Is there something going on? Maybe they'll say what it is. Or maybe they'll say no, and you just have to prick up your little antennae and watch what's going on in their lives for the next few days to see if you can figure out anything.
Oh, that's great. Well, I know from you being the KPCW mom that you always did that with all of us, too. I think I've divulged all of my deepest secrets to you over the years. Do you recall any specific moments that you just said, this is so tough, I don't think I can do this, or this is the toughest, worst job ever that's also the best job?
Well, When I had my first baby, I remember sitting on the side of the bed and telling my husband, I can't put her back in the crib. I'm so sleepy, I can't get up. And then he got up and couldn't find her. She was in the crib. I had slept walked. So for me, the first 5 or 6 years of no sleep, it was exhausting. And then sometimes with middle school angst, I thought, I'm not ready for this. I don't know how to handle this, what to say. And I went through, you know how you go through a million scenarios in your mind, and you say, I'll say this, and then they'll say that, and then we'll do this, and it never works. I've done that millions of times. Read a lot of books, but I think those were the two really roughest times. In fact, a funny thing, the girls, one of them was in a crib, one was in a twin bed, you know, next to her in the same room. And I heard this funny noise coming from that room, and I thought, what is that? And I went in there in the middle of the night, and our dog, pregnant dog, had jumped up on the twin bed and had her pups with my three-year-old. She did finally wake, and she did, what is Io doing? I said, she's having her pups. I just let them stay there through the night because I didn't want to wake up the baby and the three-year-old. So that was an interesting situation.
Such a funny story.
Yeah.
What are some differences you see between your parenting and today's parents?
As I think today's mothers and parents have so many different decisions to make, like for phones and electronics. And my daughter, who I talked with about this, said that she thought it was helpful because you can know where your child is. I hadn't even thought about that.
You can also obsess about where your child is.
Oh, no, they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said, we just went outside and played in the neighborhood, and we came back when it was dinner time or when you called us. And I said, but what they weren't aware of was that I knew where they were. I knew they were riding their bikes on this street. But she really appreciated knowing all of that information. I thought that was interesting.
Right, right. So in closing, Ethel, and we're so happy that you could join us today for the Mountain Life for this special episode, a lot of people are making decisions about whether or not they want to be parents, about whether they decide to be mothers. And how have you changed because of being a mother and then a grandmother?
Mm-hmm. I think it broadens you, and I think it deepens you. When I was younger, I would never ask for anything for myself. I was too shy or didn't think I deserved it or whatever. But when I had children, I would ask for them. And so that transferred over to being more bold. So I became more outgoing. I learned to talk to strangers, which was a good thing. I learned to make friends better because I wanted my children to have friends. So I made friends with people who had children their age, mothers at school or Sunday school or whatever. I became more aware of people around me. I was a big reader. And so now I'm a big observer of people around me. And what do they want? What does it mean when they do this? Isn't that wonderful?
That is a wonderful thing.
It broadens you. Your love goes past your children to the little kids they play with, to their parents, to the world. And I think it's very, very broadening and deepening.
Wonderful note to end on. Ethel Preston, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for asking. And I loved being a station mom. I miss it. That's the thing I miss about parenting is you don't get to take care of somebody.
We still need taken care of here, so you can come back anytime. Thank you so much. It's really nice to have these reflections for Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you for asking.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life. Our next guest is Sarah Hutchinson, Park City local, doula, co-originator of The Hive Family Collective, and friend. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
And we're happy to have you. Thank you.
Maybe we could start by you just giving a little background on what brought you to this role in motherhood support.
You bet. So I've been in Park City for a while, over 20 years, and I moved here pregnant with my first, Brewster. He is 21. And I know. And we left the Bay Area and found work here in Park City and just really made a good decision by moving here. With that said, I left my sister, my best friends, and just my community in San Francisco. And I quickly made friends in Park City, although all of us that have gone through this know that it can be a little bumpy. And just because we had babies the same age didn't necessarily mean that we were out of the same cloth. Although I really appreciate, the community that showed up for me. And through that experience, it was really just clear to me that a lot of us live in Park City because of lifestyle and not necessarily because this is where our friends and family are. And this experience informed my work. After my kids, I would say I had different jobs while they were young, working at Backcountry and the Ed Foundation. And then I was asked to be a doula. And for anyone that doesn't know what a doula is, it is this amazing work that exists in the world where I support mamas throughout their labor in the room with them or in their home. Or I can help the parents prepare, or parent if they're single, prepare for this incredible journey of having a baby. So this all kind of started in 2018, 2019. And my friend, she just liked my energy. And I was a yoga teacher. And she's like, I think you'd make a great doula. And so shout out Carly Driscoll. And so I took a workshop and I was just delighted to learn about being a doula, providing emotional and mental and physical help. No medical. Leave that to the midwives, the nurses. And so through that, I became a doula and started supporting mamas, and I started teaching childbirth education. I started perinatal and postpartum support group. I really believe in the mental health tax that mothering takes.
And it is May.
It is May, which is Mental Health Wellness Month. And I always think of May as like a maternal month. And so I really did a deep dive. I was certified in lactation counseling because I just think when we become new mamas, it's a whole new skill set. Mary Beth, don't you remember this?
Oh, I very much do.
And so, I was really good at showing up at work, usually on time. I was really good at taking notes and follow through and emails and inboxes and project management. And managing a child is just so different. And so I really was delighted to help that journey for so many women.
Oof, but we do need that help, don't we? What kind of things do you feel like catch women the most off guard when they're in their first chapter of motherhood?
I think one of the things I hear is that the organization that we do so well prior to having babies is not relevant when having a baby. And so I remember having a coffee with a mama who had a spreadsheet, and she was like a little embarrassed, but she was so brave to show up and say, like, this isn't really working. And I just had to listen and say, I know. Maybe just here are the visual cues for when your baby's hungry. Let's like focus on the baby and focus on our intuition rather than the spreadsheet.
I'm a little embarrassed to admit that I was one of those new mothers keeping charts and shading in all the boxes on sleep schedules to show, how long the baby was sleeping and when and feedings and everything. I think it was this desperate grasp to try to maintain control in this new non-controllable situation, right? It's so hard to recalibrate your life when you have this new needy, helpless being.
Absolutely.
And everyone seems to be looking to you as if you suddenly have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And many times you don't.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these Professions are great, all chapters of our lives. However, for a postpartum mama, you know, there are specific trainings that exist and knowledge that is so important and so relevant and so easily missed when you're postpartum if you're not looking through the postpartum lens with hormone shifts and body shifts. I mean, my goodness, you look at a pregnant mama like that, you know, our bodies physically just get rearranged. And then you think about that's the body. And then we go to the heart, our heart space. It's so tender. And then we go to our mind. We're like totally consumed. Are we neurotic? Anxious? I remember being like, am I anxious? Isn't everyone anxious? I mean, I'm in charge of this newborn. Like, this is bananas.
Right.
So that's how the hive started.
Well, what are some of the things you find yourself reassuring new moms about that really seem to bring them comfort or confidence?
I love this question. I like to remind mamas of three P's, and I've learned these through my mindfulness training, and the three P's are nothing is perfect, nothing is permanent, and nothing is personal.
Oh, I love that. I love the three P's.
And I find that, you know, remembering and having perspective is really, really important because it's really easy to feel like this is the way it's always going to be, or my baby will never do this, or I'm not good at this, like taking it so personally, you know? And so I find myself just reassuring that the mamas have everything that they need inside of them to take care of this child.
Wow. I bet that's hugely comforting, or it would have been for me. You're a mom yourself. What do you find has changed in the way we care for and the resources we can offer new mothers now versus the time when you were having your babies?
Well, while I think a lot of things have changed in terms of resources of, you know, whether it's technology, apps, or things that are available on the market, maybe that will sway your baby to sleep. So I think, like, it is funny to listen when I just said, oh, that, you know, that wasn't even around, you know, when I had my babies. And so I think that on some hand, there's so many more things available for these mamas. But on the other hand, there's so much noise.
Yeah.
And there's so many products, and we are all subjective to being targeted for products. And so I really, I encourage my mamas to talk to each other. We don't want to reinvent any wheels here, and to really remember that, you know, we don't need much. And we never did. And so I think a lot has changed and a lot has remained the same.
Yeah. It's tempting to forget that women have been having babies for thousands and thousands of years and raising them without all the bells and whistles that help babies eat and sleep and be clothed and play. But that is comforting, too, when you think about it.
Absolutely. All over the globe.
For millennia. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing to think about and be grateful about when we think about how much the women centuries before us went through in order to bring life into this world and sustain it.
Oh, I love that.
Well, as we mentioned, you're a mom. Looking back at your motherhood experience, Sarah, what would you consider its greatest gift?
Oh my goodness. The greatest gift is that I created human beings, and I think I'm leaving the planet better off than I found it with my two people, Sadie and Brewster. And the gift is that I have been able, you know, sometimes moms say, like, what's your pithy advice? You know, and as if I'm like some sage.
Very wise sage of a woman, Sarah.
I say, work on yourself. That's what I say. I say, work on yourself, because what I have been gifted with is the understanding that, as you said, we're not in control of much. And so I have really done a lot of work to be able to just listen and witness and watch and support. And really, that is so difficult, especially as we watch our kids grow and make decisions for themselves that might not be the same decisions we make. And so I really had to clear out a way that I can trust and trust my kids and trust myself. And I think that I have been gifted this through parenthood, through motherhood.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And people might just find that they're going to be doing work on themselves by being a parent, whether they want to or not.
I mean, I don't think we need to be a parent to work on ourselves.
No, I love it. Sarah Hutchinson, thank you so much for being part of The Mountain Life this morning. And thank you for your work with the Hive Family Collective and all the wonderful things you do.
I love it. And I'm so proud of the Hive. We have new leadership and it is just blossoming more than I ever could have believed. So if you are interested, please check us out on Instagram or hivefamilycollective.com. Thank you so much, Mary Beth, and happy Mother's Day to you.
Happy Mother's Day to you too, and to all the moms listening and all the loving women who step into the role of moms. Thank you so much.
Welcome to The Mountain Life. I'm Lynn Ware Peak. Well, today's episode is a special one for me. I get to sit down with my own mom, Barbara Helgeland. She's a woman whose influence on my life is impossible to measure, but easy to feel. Literally every single day. She's been many things over the years, steady, curious, resilient, but at her core, she's simply mom or grandma. Mm-hmm. In honor of Mother's Day, we're talking about what that role really means, how it changes you, what it teaches you, and what endures. Barbara, mom, welcome mm-hmm. to The Mountain Life. Thanks for joining me.
You?
This is such a fun thing and really an honor to be able to sit down with you and then to be able to air our conversation, which is kind of funny. You just have to agree not to tell any of my secrets.
You're my hostage.
Yeah.
I hold you hostage.
You are the mostly proud mom of four children. I'm your second. I'm your oldest daughter. You have one son and three daughters. And nowadays people wonder about, should I have kids? Should I not? And if I do, how many? What is that one defining thing that being a mom has meant to you, and specifically of four children?
Well, I definitely think that it's not just having children. When you have children, you take care of them. And if you're having children just because somebody thinks you should have children and you aren't capable or aren't willing to take care of them, then please do not have them, because it's not as glorious a job as you may think by having children. It's hard work.
Yeah, it's funny as you say that. I think that you have kids who are nearly qualify as seniors.
Right.
And you're still very much a mom. Your role and your relationship and your commitment and your duties, it doesn't just end when they're 18, right?
I don't know that it ever ends, because you're always concerned what your children are doing and hoping they're still at their ages making decisions that are going to benefit them.
How different is it to give that motherly advice from when they were 3 to when they were 12 to when they were 21 to when they are, in their late 50s?
Yeah, I don't think it changes. I think one thing is that is such a compliment is that you look at your grandchildren, and I look at my grandchildren, now I'm going to cry, and I see what 7 beautiful, beautiful children they are, and I know that my children have done something right because of my beautiful grandchildren.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I mean, you have that perspective now of not only being a mom, but being a grandma, and hopefully you'll get the chance to be a great grandma. You have all this perspective. How do you go about imparting your motherly knowledge to your kids or to your grandkids? How has it changed over the years?
I think basically what you do, they see how you live. and they see how you relate to them. And this is also your grandchildren.
So you started having kids back in those days. You were having kids much younger. You were 24 when you began having kids, which is, you know, probably younger than the average these days. But was there something that was unexpected or a surprise to you about having these babies, especially these newborns? And was there any time in your children's lives, as parents, a lot of times we talk about middle school being that time where we just don't know what to do with them. Were there any surprising times that caught you off that you felt like you weren't maybe equipped for?
I think the most surprising thing was how different each one of you children were. I produced four beautiful, artistic children. I think you're all to this day, you're all very, very different, which I love. I love your difference.
How did your relationship change with your own mother when you became a mother?
When I was starting to have children, my mother's advice to me was, do not nurse, you will feel like a cow. And my mother-in-law said, the only way is nursing. So I followed my mother-in-law, and my mother never did approve of it. It was right in that period of time when mothers were using a bottle, and they were a lot freer to do what they wanted because they had a bottle and anybody could feed the child. But I never felt that. I wanted to have that closeness with you children. Oh, but then again, my mother had four children in 4 years. She had two or three kids at the same time in cloth diapers and a wringer washing machine.
Yes, well, that must have been tough. But I recall you always saying about your mom, what a strong woman she was and so steady and such a wonderful mom. What advice do you give to new mothers? What advice did you give to your daughters as they became mothers?
I don't know that I gave advice as much as I just watched. I did a lot of watching on how you were doing. And all of you kids were doing, you all had your own way of raising your children. And I approved. I saw that you were doing a wonderful job with your children. And your children are proof of it. You know, my grandchildren are proof of it.
What do you see now when you're out in the public, maybe not necessarily with regard to how your children parented, but when you're out in the public, what do you see that is the biggest difference now between how women mother and how you did it?
Mainly computers. I've seen mothers that have children that are 2 years old that have little games on a little computer, which never, obviously, it's a new invention, so we never had that kind of stuff. You made up your own games and you did your own creative playing.
I know with your grandchildren, you would take the time. You would always commit whatever amount of time. In fact, it was amazing to me even. I was their mom, but you were their grandma. And you could just spend so much time with them, like putting the kid seat up on the counter and you would go through making chocolate chip cookies.
All seven of my grandchildren have made chocolate chip cookies sitting in a little seat, just a little stool seat, making chocolate chip cookies with their grandma. All seven of them have. Well, they've got that memory. They will always have that memory of their grandmother.
Yes.
What are the traits or characteristics that helped you most be the mom you wanted to be?
I loved being a mom, all different phases. I can remember just thinking it was a wonderful thing that I was blessed with four children. And we went through health problems. And I mean, you go through things and you just take one event at a time and you deal with it and you handle it. And
what were the scariest times for you?
Well, I'm going to paddle on you a little bit. You were always so independent and you never let anything stop you. And I can remember you calling me from Spain and saying, I just raced with the bulls, Mom, those kind of things. And, you know, all you kids have had times when I know You did not tell me things that you had done until many years later. So obviously you knew I would have a heart attack if you told me, so you know, you kept it quiet. In fact, I'm still every now and then finding out something that one of you kids did when you were young. Then I said, there's no way they would have done that.
I'm sure we'll be doling out those little secrets and stories over the years. We will.
Well, believe it or not, Mom, we're just about out of time here. So I was wondering if there was anything that was especially pertinent to you that you wanted to talk about before we wrapped.
Well, I came to the conclusion, and it was especially with you. I worked in our business until you were born. And then our son was a year and a half older than you. And I came to the conclusion that I could not raise children and work also. And nowadays, I have to give fathers credit, because in our day, the fathers were busy making a living and they did not have time to take care of kids. So basically, it was the mother that raised the children, which nowadays I have to give fathers a lot of credit, because in this day and age, and they seem to love it. The men seem to love being able to take care of their children, which it was sad that we didn't include our husbands more in raising children when I was raising them, because I basically raised you children by myself.
That's a really great point. Oh, in this day and age, and on this show, we interview so many different people about many different trends in health and even parenting and education. And so of all the trends that come and go, if you were to write the mothering book, the parenting book, what would be the main points?
I never listened to Dr. Spock, or, you know, he was big in my day. I never listened to theories. I just went by how I felt with my children. And I think, you know, no matter how much advice you can get, you still basically, you have to raise your children with your heart, and you have to raise them with love, and you'll goof. You'll have lots of goofs and you'll make mistakes. But if you give them those things, if you just give them lots of love and know that they're number one in your lives, I don't know what else you can do.
Well said.
Thank you so much for joining me on this very special Mother's Day. I love you. You are the quintessential mom and grandma, and it was really fun to hear from you.
I love you too. I really have enjoyed this. I thank you a million. One thing we all have in common, all the women in our family are criers.
We sure are. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just hard to surmount when you're trying to broadcast your program on the radio and you're crying about how wonderful your mom is at the same time. Well, happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day to you too, darling. It's been such a unique experience going on the radio with you.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life. I'm Mary Beth Maziarz, and I'm here with my mom, Mary Ellen. Hi, Mom.
Hi, sweetie.
I wanted to ask you a couple questions about motherhood. Is that right?
Well, I'm experienced.
You want to give the folks a little background about why you are experienced at this?
Well, I was married 50 years, and I had 6 children, 4 girls and 2 boys, ranging from 17 to 0. Mm-hmm. And I think that entitles me to say I've had experience.
I'd say you're pretty much an authority on some aspects of this, right?
Well, some.
Were there any particular stages or eras when you were raising us kids that were your favorite?
Oh, boy. I liked a lot of the stages, but I think once the kids started toddling and talking a little, like 18 months was one of my favorite stages.
That is a fun time. Yeah.
High school, I'm not so sure I liked any of my kids at 15, which I think 13 is the new 15.
I think you might be right about that. Yep.
Yeah.
Were there any periods or typical ages that you were really glad to leave behind?
15. 15. And I, as I said, 13 is the new 15. It was just a tough age.
It is. What do you think makes it so hard?
They become themselves. And they feel like they can talk back and make all the decisions. And they're really still so young.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget thinking 15 is the toughest year.
Interesting. And then is there a time where you start to feel like they come back around?
Well, I hated the first year they came home from college.
Why?
Because they thought they could rule the roost. And the second year was much better. But your dad and I had to set boundaries the first year, the first summer home from college.
Yeah.
That was tough. That's just my opinion.
No. Well, Scout's on his way home right now, so that'll be really interesting to see how that goes.
Oh, yeah. They've lived alone enough.
Yeah. Some people say every child in a family has a different set of parents. How do you think your mothering approach changed from child to child, or from first, who was me, to last?
Well, first of all, you were an easy kid to raise. You were a mentor to your siblings. You were helpful. I mean, think about it. You were 17 when I had the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a long period of time in between.
But there were all kids all along.
Yes, and they were helpful too.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't the example you were.
I really was lovely.
You were. You were. My Northwestern grad, my wonderful child, you were. You were easy. If I would say something to my second born, she would say, why? Why do I have to go to my room? What did I do? Blah, blah, blah. You would say, fine. Hang your head and go to your room. That was easy.
Sometimes I would just say fine, but I would just still do what I wanted.
Maybe. But you didn't tell me that.
That's true. I was on the surface. I was a delight.
You were always.
If you knew what you know now, but could go back and do it all again, what kind of things do you think you might do differently, if anything?
There's a couple of scenarios, and I've mentioned one to you this visit, where I would go off the handle over something stupid. Like one in particular, you moved your bed around, and I went like berserk. It's like, how important was that? Those kind of little things I would change. I would not make them so important.
But in that example, when you were saying that, like, I didn't even remember that.
Well,
like,
I did.
Right. So it's maybe sometimes there are things that we all regret or mm-hmm. think were a bigger deal at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's interesting.
Yeah. It was almost like, I don't want to say the word bipolar. I'm not a doctor. But I would just go off sometimes for no reason. And then later I'd say, what was that about?
Well, I mean, you had six kids. And I mean, we were a lively bunch. Don't you think that it's natural that once in a while you might have lost it?
Yeah, I would say you're grounded for 3 weeks. And your father would say, how about 2 days?
That was nice of Dad to undermine you.
Well, no, he just thought I exaggerated a little bit.
Sure.
And so that's why you have two parents.
It's true. What is the best gift that you think you've given us kids?
Well, I hope it's morals. I mean, when you were little, if you stole a piece of gum or a piece of candy, I would make you kids go back and apologize and return it, mm-hmm. which only happened one or two or three times in my recollection. But mm-hmm. those kind of things, you had to have scruples.
Mm-hmm. If I were going to answer that question for you, I would say your creativity and resourcefulness. Because I think of things like when we were all getting into, you know, drawing or playing school or something. I remember you going to the print place where they did all these posters and stuff. And you asked if they had any miscut paper or extra paper they were going to throw out that we could have. And they're like, how much you want? And you're like, how much they have? And they're like, pull the station wagon up back. And I remember the station wagon being full up to the gills of paper. And to this day, I think that's part of what made me feel so excited about making things, is I always felt like I had the resources to do that. And you always found ways to do it that weren't about spending a lot of cash and things like that. It was just about asking.
I do kind of remember that. And you kids loved doing that kind of stuff. Plus, I think we did a lot of stuff with food.
We did. You were a great cook, and
I had
we learned.
A great big breadboard, and you little girls would stand up on a stool and cut the salad, and those were all educational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Chris, my younger brother, he does that too. He cooks.
A very good cook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. And a lot of people, I think, aren't able to pass on things like cooking and more traditional craft and art of domesticity, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was one that never made any. I called myself a domestic engineer. I never made any apologies for being an at-home mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all I wanted to be, was a good mom.
Yeah, and you were.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What's the best gift you think that your kids have given to you?
I don't know lately. I'm finding all these cute little cards with little sayings and things, and they were things that I didn't have time to ponder years ago that I do now. Those were nice. But I just think their example, being nice to other people and having compassion. I will never forget, this is kind of funny. We were cleaning the basement, and we had all these big bins, and we were throwing things away, and there were several piles. There was a save pile, there was a pitch pile, there was a Goodwill pile. And I remember a toy that was broken, and I said, just put it in the Goodwill pile. And Chris was a little guy, and he goes, Mom, even kids that don't have a lot of toys want toys that work.
Maybe especially.
And maybe especially.
So
and
true.
I never forgot that. Yeah. I never forgot that. And it shame on me.
That's an interesting lesson, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a good lesson to me.
That is. What's different about being a grandmother than your experience of being a mother?
You can send them home. No, I didn't think you could ever love your grandkids as much as your own. I think you can.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of grandmothers out there raising kids.
For sure, yeah.
And they get what I'm saying.
Is it hard to watch your kids make choices about the way they parent that are different from the way you would do it?
Yes. I want to interject all the time. And they really don't exactly want my view on it or my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
And things have changed, so I respect that.
Did you want your mother's views when you were raising us?
No. I used to say, Mom, you're interfering.
What did Grandma say?
I know I am. Yeah.
That's funny. What's one thing you would really love to hear your kids say about you?
Well, there's several things, but not too long ago, Chris found a picture of all of your kids and Dad and I at the zoo. And he said, Mom, you really dressed us spiffy. And it made me feel so good because that wasn't by mistake.
No.
I mean, I really worked at making sure you kids looked clean and nice
and coordinated,
put together and coordinated.
I mean, we'd have matching t-shirts and matching shorts and
dresses.
I mean, it was cute. I mean, now it's not done as much, but at the time that was adorable.
Yeah, it was. But I just didn't think he would have ever noticed that. And he said, You know, like your little shoes were so white and your little shorts were white and your tops were cute. And he said, you really dressed us spiffy. And that really warmed my heart.
That must have been a losing battle to keep us all clean.
It was terrible. On that note, one time I made the two boys' shirts that matched your dresses.
Uh-huh.
And Rich, my husband, your dad, said, honey, we are not the Von Trapps.
He did?
Yes. And so he made me get solid shirts for the boys.
Oh, gee.
He did not want the floral shirts to match your little jumpers.
Dad was kind of funny that way.
I'll never forget that.
That is
though.
Pretty funny.
I laughed so hard.
I think it's kind of funny that I am a radio host because right about my age, you were a radio host, weren't you?
I was for a few years. And it was after my youngest was in third grade that I went outside the home to work.
Yeah.
And I found it very interesting. I loved all the different topics and things we could discuss. But it was in an era where we didn't have at our fingertips the news. I'd stay up late and watch Dateline and Nightline and get good fodder for my next day. We didn't have this kind of stuff.
Wow, that must have been
a lot very hard.
Yeah, a lot of work. Prep work, I bet.
It was a lot of work. Yeah. But now I could push a button and say, what's the news of the day?
And people do. Well, to kind of wrap up, what's something you would really love to hear from your kids? Hear them say to you.
I love you, Mom. You're a good mom.
I love you, Mom. You're a good mom.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you so much for being with us on The Mountain Life, Mom.
I can't wait to have you come back and visit.
Thanks. I love you. You're a great mom.
Thank you.
Well, that sure was fun talking to both of our moms and honoring them for Mother's Day. And I hope that you all out there honor your moms for Mother's Day. And remember, it's coming up this Sunday. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life here on KPCW Park City.